a team that likes to blitz, which we haven't seen that much with the emergence of Keon Ellis, but a team that likes to blitz versus a team that is essentially unblitzable because they have two elite scorers. And honestly, the Mavs are, everybody is more blitzable if the others are missing shots. They weren't blitzable last night. And because they weren't blitzable last night, it made it very, very hard for the Kings to keep up, especially when they were not hitting shots at the same clip as the Mavericks. And the one cool thing, I was telling Chris about this last night, the one cool thing about this mini two-game series is that we do get to treat it like a playoff series, right? We don't have to just close the book on this game and look forward to the next game and refresh everything, right, with a new opponent. We literally get to see what just happened and break it down in a way to see and say what should happen in the next game to make these adjustments. I think it's one of the best things for the Kings and the Mavericks, to be completely honest with you. It's a situation that they hope to be in, whether it's a it probably won't be against each other, but at the beginning of the playoffs or deeper into the playoffs. And one of the things that the Mavs were able to break through and exploit was the Kings blitzing, which they like to do when somebody's getting beat. They had nobody, they had no answer for Luka. Some of those contests from Keegan were not bad.
No, and it
didn't matter, even with a bad Achilles and off a back-to-back, and after 41 minutes, it did not matter. Luka Doncic had it rolling. Let's hear from Coach Mike Brown on what he had to say about the way the Mavs stretched the double team. And they will basically look to fix that in a way going into Friday. And honestly, I'm not really sure how you do it besides just hope that the others don't make shots. And I mean, I think some of these guys are fairly streaky. I don't expect them to continue to shoot like that, but they've been bad for a while. Maybe they'll be good for a while. PJ Washington, Tim Hardaway Jr. to me is so confusing.
That's my guy.
And
dude.
You know, he's better on the no-fly zone for me talk. He's on the no-fly zone for me for prop talk. But let's hear from Coach Mike Brown and what he had to say about the double teams.
What they did was when we doubled them, they just tried to stretch the double team so that our rotations are longer. And then they just got the ball out and they made one more. You had to rotate. They made one more simple pass. And because they stretched the double team and our rotations are longer, now, again, you always talk about, I always talk about the domino effect our team. Our team sometimes gets into the mode where the guy that has the ball thinks he has to make the assist. And sometimes it's the hockey assist that kills teams. And so tonight when we did blitz, they did a great job of extending the double team. And we had to, because those guys both had it going in certain times of the game. But they got it out just simply to the open man, and they let that open man make a play when we had to rotate to him. And, you know, you just live with whoever takes a shot at that time, and hopefully you're able to get there and contest, and more than that, you hope that they miss. But if they make shots, then at the end of the day, you can say, hey, I'm going to live with that, because we're not letting Luka get another 26 in the second half and then Kyrie, you know, get 20 or 30 in the second half himself.
So it feels like they could have been better, but at the same time, he was echoing, we did what we wanted to do. They just made shots. They just made shots. And you've been saying, don't blitz Luka. There's one thing I disagreed with you. I disagreed with you in a while back when there was no Kyrie.
Yes.
Right? And he's, hey, you can't blitz Luka. All right. I mean, it's Luka and you know, Gladys Knight. It's like, come on now. It's the Jackson 5.
Josh Green, Jalen Green, all the greens, come on all the now. Colors out there.
If you can't blitz him now, you truly will never be able to blitz him. But with Kyrie out there, you can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't.
No, it's too hard. It's way too hard because, you're going to send a double and then it's going to become 4-on-3. And, you know, the problem with doing it against Luka, you know, and it's not that you – it's not that teams don't do it. I just think that you shouldn't, because he is such a good playmaker Mike Brown talks about stretching out the double team. He's going to pull it back every time you send the double, and then he's going to look and he's going to find the open man, and it just doesn't matter where he is. If the dude's in the corner, which is the toughest pass to make from half court, he's going to have the ability to make it. He's just always going to find the open man. I understand why you send the double, at least when they're setting that pick and roll, but you can't send isolation doubles on Luka. Like, to me, you've just got to be able to help, and it's unfortunate that they don't really have the personnel to match up with him, but you know, I think I have gone to more so towards your side of, you know, like Mike says there, you know, if it's a lot better than I can live with Tim Hardaway or PJ Washington or Josh Green going 5 of 5 from three. That's just unfortunate. Like last night, that's just kind of unfortunate. Yeah. After watching how it actually happened, watching Luka and Kyrie both cook you, I'll gladly take PJ Washington, Derek Lively, and the crew hitting 8 threes or whatever. I'll much rather lose than that than have Luka and Kyrie just absolutely kill you all night.
And they're playing good ball right now, but they're not unbeatable.
No.
Right?
No.
Luka has seen doubles before. Yeah. He's done exactly what we talk about in pickup. Somebody, wow, that's a really good point guard. If your dude is making shots,
yep,
right? If the guys you're passing to are making shots, if they're not making shots, nobody is talking about how good your point guard is because you have to finish the play. So Luka has definitely seen doubles before. I don't think he's treating the Kings doubles any differently.
Nope.
It's just a matter of whether that last pass, whether it be the second pass or the third pass, the hockey assist, whether that is resulting in a bucket from the others. I'm looking here, as we talked about earlier, and you mentioned the others. Yeah, a lot of them did things that they don't typically do. Does that mean you should sit there and feel better about how the Kings played? Maybe you can hope that they'll regress to the mean. I mean, we're not counting. They had 22 threes. They had 22 threes, and out of the 22, they had 2, 4, 2, 6, 7, 11, 13, 14. They had 22 threes. 14 were from guys not named Luka or Kyrie.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not going to happen most nights.
No.
Like, yeah, you're not going to have all – maybe, like, whatever. Maybe Tim Hardaway is going to hit three.
Drop it to 10.
But to have him and PJ – like, there was not a – I think you did the list earlier. There was not a guy who I think did all of the Dallas Mavericks, like, key contributors shoot over 50% from three. It felt like every single person who took a three at least made one of them, if not made two of them. Like, that's just not going to happen. Maybe, again, you can have one guy go off for you, but there's no way you're on Friday you're going to have another PJ Washington, Dante Exum. Let's see here. Jaden Hardy hit one at the end of the game. Markieff Morris hit one at the end of the game. There's just no way that they're going to get that level of contribution from the other guys. And, you know, in a weird way, I guess you can say, you know, the Kings did a good job for the most part of slowing those guys down. But I think at some point it just became, the Derrick Jones three was one too many. Tim Hardaway really didn't do much in that first half, but he closed the game for them pretty much once that game was over. Tim Hardaway completely took over. 15 of his 22 were in that second half. It just wasn't good enough. And again, I don't really know how fairly we can judge the Mavericks off of that game because it felt like, you know, that was just a game from the heavens for them.
And I don't know if I was alone in this, but it got to a point where once the game was basically over, I wanted the Mavs to keep hitting. I wanted to just get it all out now. Just keep, you're up 30, 25, 30, whatever it is, just keep making them because use them all now.
Yep.
There's no way you're going to continue to shoot like this. And I know it's only a 2-game set. It's not as if we're saying there's no way they're going to shoot like this for 4 games. It is,
right.
It is only one more.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
It's definitely possible.
It's definitely possible,
it's
but I would not call it probable at this point in time. And the hope is that the Kings, they go back to the drawing board. They have today off. They go back to the drawing board tomorrow and they figure some things out and just get that swagger and get that confidence back a little bit. When we get back, pocket watching what is on tap tonight in the NBA. Stiles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports. In 15 minutes, we will be joined by Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunez, our Sackdown Sports Kings Insiders. Get your calls ready.
Get your text ready. Get your sack chat ready. Get it all in. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about the Kings. So tonight, Chris, it was a small slate yesterday, but a very important slate, as we know. And yeah, the Kings really could have done themselves some good if they won. Instead, the Mavericks have done that. The Kings are now a game back of the Mavericks, and the Mavericks are now only a game back of the Pelicans, who lost in a really good game against the Thunder. The Thunder now a half game behind the Nuggets as they try to catch the Nuggets for that one seed. So the Pelicans are starting to spiral a little bit. People are even discussing. I saw something, Chris. I think it was Brian Windhorst. So, of course, he was finding a way to talk about the Lakers. But he said that if the Clippers are a team that if they don't figure it out, could randomly slip into the play-in, which would be insane.
Yeah, especially with where they – I mean, yeah, what? They were fighting for, like, the one seed for a minute, where they were more so in that group. And, yeah, I'm looking at it now. They're only a half game up on New Orleans, who's in the five spot, and they're only a game and a half up on Dallas, who just moved in there. So, you know, it's not out of the question. Again, we've talked about Dallas's easy schedule the rest of this way. Maybe Dallas is a team that somehow ends up in that four seed, especially if they win on Friday. And yeah, New Orleans definitely leaving that door open for Dallas or maybe Sacramento or Phoenix to slide into that five seed still. It's still open, man. As crazy as it is, as depressing, honestly, as yesterday was, there's still a lot of time for action. And you know, if you and again, no one's going to feel bad for you outside of yourself. So you got to pick yourself up and just try and win as many games as you can down the stretch, because it is not over, ladies and gentlemen. Kings 2.5 games out of the four spot, only still a game out of the six spot, two games out of the five spot. You know, crazier things have happened. If the Kings the Kings at this point, all they can do is win. You can't really, from the Kings' perspective, you can't pocket watch. You can't look at the standings. I know Mike Brown's got it in the practice facility. You just got to ignore it, and you just got to try and win as many games as possible, and then at the end of the season, look where you fall, because, you know, it's going to be nauseating if you check this thing every single day as a player.
Especially after a game like last night.
Oh, my gosh.
So you already know.
Then you're really feeling it.
Yeah, you already know where it's headed. The Warriors are able to beat basically the same team that came to Sacramento. No Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
No Tyler Hero. They did not have Duncan Robinson, who played like Jason Kidd in that game. They were missing a lot of players, and the Warriors were able to get it done to stay ahead of the Rockets. Warriors are doing their Florida tour. Now they go on a back-to-back. They have to play the Magic tonight,
really,
which is going to be a tough one. We know the Magic are trying to do some things for themselves. The Magic a game behind the Knicks for that four seed. The Magic in the five seed right now. So I don't know. Hopefully, I'm sure the Warriors are thinking they can turn this around, but we know firsthand that the Magic are nothing to play with. Klay Thompson, I believe, is back in the starting lineup. He had 28 points last night. Going down the list, this is probably not going to go in the direction you'd like. If it does, then the Clippers are even softer than Tyronn Lue has said. Clippers at 76ers.
Ooh,
it's in Philly, but you would think that the Clippers are going to take care of business there. Also, you have the Timberwolves. They are hosting the Pistons. That should be light work.
Should be.
The Rockets are at Thunder. Thunder are coming off a back-to-back where the biggest game of the night, besides the Kings and the Mavericks, the Thunder, they blew a huge lead to the Pelicans on the road. Then the Pelicans came back, made a game of it. You thought it might have went to overtime. Yep. And the Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who the TNT broadcast said he should be MVP. Oh. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander hits a dagger towards the end of the game to put that out of reach. Josh Giddey also had a three towards the end of the game. Lou Dort as well, all three of them. So the Thunder, they get that W, and they face a red-hot Rockets team. So the bottom of the play-in, a lot of action tonight. And speaking of the bottom of the play-in, the Lakers get a much-needed W, beating the Bucks without LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron is there sitting there. Did you see him counting?
Giannis?
No, I didn't.
The free throws.
Really?
He's doing his hands just like a ref. It was hilarious.
Ref.
With Vanderbilt next to him, who Vanderbilt has, he's basically contributed as much as a ref. He hasn't even been on the court. Yes, exactly. So they end up getting that W. Austin Reeves goes crazy.
Yeah.
Now they go to Memphis. They're off
back-to-back.
They also
prevented all the Sacramento people from watching the game last night.
They did. Yeah. They did. They did.
Yeah, I really threw you to the ground like that, J.J.
Yes, you did. And now the Lakers head to Memphis.
Yeah.
And this would be very Lakers of them to lose that game. I would assume LeBron plays tonight as he didn't play last night, but would be very Lakers to lose to Memphis with Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson, and the crew. And we have the Jazz at the bottom taking on the Spurs, but most importantly, the Suns are starting.
They're back at it.
The Suns are starting their gauntlet as they head to Denver. And the problem is, that the Nuggets still need these games.
Yes. Yeah. They're not like the Celtics.
Exactly.
Where they're
exactly.
Already planning vacation.
The Suns are going to get the best swing that the Nuggets have as they have to go to that elevation, go to Denver to take on the Nuggets. And look, the game is the game. They could easily win that game and really muck this stuff up for the Kings and the Mavericks, but it's going to, after that, I'm sure they have the Celtics or somebody like that.
I can read it for you. I'm looking at it right here, and it just makes me smile and laugh because they have Denver tonight, then they have OKC on Friday, then they play the Pelicans, then they play the Cavs, then the T-Wolves, then the Pelicans again, two-game series against the Clippers, then the Kings, and then they have a nice little rest at the end of the season against the Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely definition of no days off.
Right, no Nets like the Kings or anything like that.
Yeah.
Which, hey, if you do make it in, you'll definitely be prepared.
Yeah, they'll earn it, for sure.
You'll definitely be prepared, and I know a couple guys got banged up, not sure who's going to be out there for the Suns tonight, but they will definitely do their best to stay on the winning side of things. It's tough, man. So there's a lot of action tonight, and the Kings, all they can do is watch.
Yep.
The next two nights, all they can do is watch.
Yep. It's at the very least, they have a couple days off to kind of get themselves right. But yeah, I mean, they're going to watch as hopefully the Suns continue to lose against good opponents. Hopefully the Kings don't just watch their standings go further and further down. Mm-hmm. Looking at it here, there's no games on Thursday from Phoenix. So, pretty much from the Kings' standpoint of things, you're really just looking at Phoenix to see if the Kings can maybe even fall. Would they fall to the 8 seed if Phoenix wins today? They would still have the tiebreaker, I believe. Oh, no, actually, Phoenix would move a game ahead if they win, just because they would have a better winning percentage. So the Kings could fall to eighth place by the time they play Dallas on Friday. You just got to hope that, again, I said earlier, you can't really standings watch. You got to just take care of your business. But at the same time, the more games that Phoenix wins, because like I said a couple weeks ago, I'm just completely discounting them from this equation. I'm not thinking about them when I think about the Kings and their possible playoff seeding. But if Phoenix does, like you said, if they start winning some of these games and earn their spot in there, that just makes it even worse for the Kings, obviously. Adding another team to that competition makes things a little bit more murky. So hopefully Phoenix doesn't figure things out and they continue to kind of be up and down. And I saw you said Bradley Beal and Nurkic went down last game.
I haven't seen an update. Yeah,
on that.
I have no clue if it was serious or if they'll be playing tonight. And don't look now, Chris, because I know there's some delusional Laker fans out there, probably some double agents listening right now. 2.5 games back of the 8 seed the Lakers are. And I know they're hoping if we can get to the 8, at least it gives us 2 chances to get back in there. And with the Suns and what the Suns have going on, if they plummet, you could see the Lakers slide in there and have 2 cracks at it. So we will keep you all in the loop as we have been each and every day with these standings. But not as fun when the Kings do not get it done. When we return, we will be joined by Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes, our Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, for the roundtable. Get your calls, get your texts, get your YouTube, get your Sack Chat in if you want to be a part of the conversation. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. You hear that sound? You know what it is. Kings roundtable time, joined by Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli. Fellas, how you doing?
Doing well, Saya. How art thou?
Wow. Chris can handle this. He likes that stuff.
I'm sorry?
Do you not like the medieval theme?
No, he loves it.
Are you a fan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I just don't think people get it.
So, Christopher?
Well, of the round table.
That's ridiculous.
It's the round table.
That's absolutely.
Say good morrow, Chris.
Yeah, good morrow. Is that why you say
good morrow? Every time people talk in voices like that, have you seen Role Models?
Yes.
I think about Role Models every
single time. Thank you.
Every single time.
Where I got it from.
Every single time. Was it Ken Jeong? Yeah, they're eating like at the like a Waffle House, and like they come out just like right in a character.
Good morrow.
Your reference is
out of control. Everyone knows that.
No, the reason I say Chris likes it is because when we were going to Vegas, he was trying to get us to go to that thing.
Oh, bro.
To go to. Really?
Medieval Nights?
No, there's this awesome. I shouldn't say it's awesome. I haven't been since I was like under 10 years old.
I'm clipping it.
Yeah. No. Okay, well then I'm going to choose my words very carefully. I suggested, because I found out what hotel we were staying at, I was like, what are some of the amenities in our hotel? And it was like this, I mean, we were staying at the Excalibur and
that's
so it was like a Medieval Nights, and I remember doing it when I was a kid, and I was with Alan Stiles and Nate, so it's like, yeah, you know who's probably going to have a great time banging on tables and, you know, cheering for some random allegiant that they just got assigned 10 minutes ago? Uh-huh. Probably Alan and Nate. I was just like, we should go.
I can already see Alan saying, dude, we should go to Medieval Times tonight.
Exactly. But he tried to clown me like this is ridiculous.
I'd be down.
I'd be down too.
Forget the
Didn't seem like it. Didn't seem like it.
We're going to Medieval Times.
It's just not at the top of my list. But we'll get to do it. We'll do Summer League. We'll do it during Summer League.
Yeah.
And Chris talking about getting clowned about it. Well, the Kings got clowned last night. And it was pretty embarrassing,
guys.
But I think we've become accustomed to every once in a while this is going to happen. And we just hope that it happens. Not that often. 132-96. Where do we even start with this? Chris and I have been breaking down the breakdowns defensively, what happened offensively. You had Sabonis struggling with Derek Lively the second. Things that you had not seen in the past. Obviously, you had Luka, but Luka dealing with a sore Achilles. Kyrie doing his thing. Big picture, what happened last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think that while Dallas put up 120+, Mike Brown coming out postgame and saying he thinks it was more their offense than their defense, I see why that can be confusing. It kind of caught me off guard, too. Mm-hmm. And looking at it more and kind of something De'Aaron pointed out, too, I think it's 21 points that Dallas had off Sacramento's turnovers. Mm-hmm. And like you guys were talking about earlier in the show, the other guys just kind of hit their shots. Mm-hmm. And I think that you're willing to live with that. And you take away those 21, you know, that's an okay defensive showing. So I think offensively, it was another night, which I'm getting a little bit concerned now that, you know, there's Miami, there's Houston, there's now this game where teams are packing the paint. It's forcing Sacramento into turnovers. They're not getting to those spray threes that are a huge part of their offense and should be part of every postgame bingo card at this point. But, I mean, I think a lot of it was maybe 5 games in 7 nights. Hate to use the excuse, but they sure looked tired out there and weren't executing offensively.
Yeah, I think I'm sure whatever I say you guys have maybe already covered. I mean, looking at just the numbers, generally when a team shoots 56% from three, a loss will follow for that team that allows it. And the Kings, again, who have been very good on defense over the past couple of weeks, maybe it is tired legs. Again, I really don't like making excuses, and I'm sure Mavericks fans will roll their eyes at that, or if it was things were reversed, it'd be the same thing around. But the Kings, really, their three-point defense had been pretty great with as far as contests go and closeouts. And you kind of waited for Dallas to slow down. They never did. Mm-hmm. They've never relented. And then the Kings on the other side of things, they weren't really able to get out on the break. They've really done well with winning games by pushing the pace. And I think in every of those Bucks, Lakers, kind of down that list of those recent games where they were impressive, they outscored their opponent by 10-plus fast break points. Well, last night, the Kings were the one that were getting outscored by double digits in fast break points. Dallas got 18-8. In that department, but really looking at this kind of how the Mavericks blueprint works, their success, they had that two-headed snake of Luka and Kyrie, and I think that maybe the goal at the half was slow down Luka. Well, Luka scored 2 points for the remainder of the game, but Kyrie Irving scored 18 in the second half, so one bad quarter usually does a team in, and the Kings had a rough third quarter, and losing by 36 points, it's more than one quarter, I understand that, but this really, it was kind of like a perfect storm of just bad. It's kind of like one of the worst performances we've seen for a while, and I don't want to say I'm going to excuse it, but I think with where the Kings are and where they've been. I mean, they won 4 of 5 entering last night, and they, again, 5 games, 7 nights. I think I'm more looking towards Friday before I can really have a general feel. I'm kind of looking at this as a – I'm not sure if you guys are doing the same thing, but I'm looking at this as a 2-game series and kind of evaluating it that way.
Yeah, and I mean, with the Dallas shooting the lights out, I mean, they shoot 56% last night. That's their highest total or most efficient night of the season. How much of that do you want to put on, you know, you don't actually have to give a number, but how much of that do you think is the Kings versus how much of it is just, you know, Dallas came in last night. We talked about they'd shot, Frank, you put in your article, Dallas shot 30% from deep over their previous 6 games leading into last night. Was it just kind of they were due, which is something we talked about yesterday? Do you think it was something fundamental with the Kings defense? I mean, Mike Brown's been harping on, you know, perfect closeouts and how they've really just focused on the defensive end, the really simple things. How much of it was the Kings? How much of it was Dallas?
I mean, I think there was, like, switching that was interesting. Frankie was just pointing out a Twitter thread. It's Steve
Jones?
Jones, that put up
Junior.
A great breakdown on X, I guess, this morning of the Kings started with Domas. I know, I don't like it either. I think that might be the first time I've done it.
Twitter
the
forever.
Kings started with Domas on PJ Washington rather than a big to kind of try and be able to switch in that pick and roll with Harrison Barnes guarding a big and then being able to switch that matchup. The one-on-one game, Luka was picking apart, whether it be HB or Keegan, kind of doing whatever he wanted, really, it seemed like, for that first half, and then Kyrie had the second. So I think that switching didn't go very well, and then when they doubled, like you, the clip you guys played earlier, the audio clip, those guys do a really good job kind of pulling it out and separating the game and making those rotations a little bit longer. So I think for the most part, like, there were things the Kings could have done better, but again, it was the other guys that made shots. You live with PJ Washington making 3 threes in that first half, first quarter, whatever it was. Tim Hardaway getting going, you know. Mm-hmm. I think some of those you live with. Now, they could have cleaned up things on the main two guys, but I think those others you kind of live with.
There was a specific shot, I believe, in the second quarter. It might have been early third quarter before it got out of hand, where same idea, Luka, it might have been a hockey assist or a straight-up assist, and it ended up Derek Jones Jr. in the corner, and it didn't even hit the rim at all. And it really felt like that took the air out of the building and took the air out of the bench as well. The whole team just thinking,
I remember that
all right,
shot.
Man, if this is what we're doing, I don't know how we're going to kind of combat this. And it was tough. The one thing I do want to get to as we were talking about the offense as much as the defense is, does it feel was last night, and Chris talked about with that zone and how they run the dribble handoffs and that flow offense, was last night a night where it felt like the offense was a little bit too one-dimensional?
I mean, yeah, and of course, I think that it was also a matter of missing open shots. Which the Kings have had stretches where they've missed just open shots where guys are getting free, and I'm looking at the third quarter in particular. I mean, they were forcing them more so in that quarter, but as far as the scheme of the game goes, 7 of 21 from the field, 33%, 1 of 6 from three. And I think as far as on-ball pressure from Dallas and adapting the dribble handoffs and kind of catching on the defense, that's a quarter I'm looking at as far as, okay, the Kings were not just missing shots in the first, second, fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. But the third, like you said, I think it was kind of a matter of being, you know, maybe call it being stubborn or just going with your, you know, usual game plan. But getting down the shot clock in a lot of those situations and forcing shots, it's really the offense was not in a rhythm at all. They had 6 assists in the whole period. Not much ball movement, missing open shots. Obviously, De'Aaron Fox, not quite himself last night, 0-3 in the third quarter. But when those guys aren't really able to knock down shots, it's very hard to win games, obviously. I mean, but perfect storm for the Kings, I think, just of everything, just defense, offense. But yeah, I do think they could have switched things up a little bit, maybe tried to go at the paint a little bit more. But we've seen the Kings, when they struggle from three, they usually try to just shoot out of it. Mm-hmm. And if they don't shoot out of it in time, they're already behind the eight ball. And that's pretty much what happened last night.
Well, yeah, and the other part of this is we're so deep into the season, you are who you are. So when I'm asking this question, it's not really for the Kings to let's implement a whole new offense right now. I know LeBron, I don't know if you saw LeBron talking about the split action with Sabonis, which they probably could run more often, but looking at the Kings from a playoff series perspective, does that worry you as far as, okay, this team whoever it is, has seen the Kings offense. Now, we're now at game three, game four. I know the full offense is always going to give you open shots, but when you get into a seven-game series, could it look a little stale by game three or game four? We will have the guys answer that question and your questions when we return. Also, what worries you the most about what happened last night? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
One thing to remember, and again, these aren't excuses. It's just reality of the situation. Joined by the Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunez. One thing to remember, as Dwayne Baker on the Sack Chat asked the question, how much of last night had to do with Herter, Lyles, and Sasha being out? I would say the Mavericks, even though Luka was banged up, the Mavericks, based on who they have in their rotation, was definitely, I know they had to travel, they're both off back-to-backs. The Mavericks were definitely healthier than the Kings. They have more of their rotation than what the Kings have.
They're missing Josh Green, I think, who's been good for them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we were talking about during the break, too, and I think while, you know, it was kind of like an interesting time on social media. Social media is toxic for a lot of reasons, but when the news of Kevin's injury came up, some people looked at that as a time to say, oh, Keon gets to play, and it's like, okay, well, I look at it as the Kings are down a pretty important rotation piece, a guy who's been very integral to their success for the past season, plus a guy who can really get hot from three and change a game. And as far as his off-ball cutting, I think Herter and Sabonis connected a lot on those off-ball plays. You're missing a guy that was playing nearly 30 minutes a game, a guy who's been a veteran, who's had big moments in playoff series before when he was with Atlanta. I think it hurts. And honestly, without Trey Lyles, the Kings are down two of their top seven guys in the rotation for most of the last two seasons. So, again, not an excuse. I'm just looking at like the grand scheme of the rest of the season as far as we don't know how long Trey Lyles will be out, but we're supposed to get an update, I think, over the next week. I think we're on week one and a half of two. Maybe by the end of this upcoming weekend we'll get an update. But they need some of those guys back. They need to have, you know, whether it's Sasha Vezenkov and Trey Lyles back, and it doesn't seem like Kevin Herter will be coming back this year. We haven't heard an official update yet, but it just seems like that outlook is bleak with the labral tear. But I think there's no doubt that the Kings are going to be kind of struggling to kind of find that consistency and find that rhythm with their depth, because we've seen Chris Duarte, his minutes have been pretty inconsistent. I think he's had back-to-back rough games, and he has some good moments as well, but being down Kevin Herter and Trey Lyles is pretty tough for this Kings team right now.
Yeah, and the way I look at it, as whether we were arguing Kevin Herter to start or not, he would still be contributing in some fashion. Not having him on the roster at all or able to play him at all, that is not the same as, oh, maybe he shouldn't be starting right now. So I think that is what, and everybody was high. And look, we're all in the pressers. How many times has Coach Mike Brown said, hey, let's not get too high on Keon. He's still a young guy.
Right.
And even with what Keon is bringing to the table defensively and offensively, 10 points last night, the idea that Kevin Herter not starting anymore, if that were to happen, is the same as Kevin Herter not being able to call on him in case of emergency and having that spacing. Is a big difference. It's a big difference.
It definitely is. I mean, the small guard, three guard lineups that we're seeing right now, like Kevin plays as a guard.
I'm so done. Really? Every time I look at Chris, I say, well, what was Brendan last night? Who was it? Davion?
Malik and Keon.
Come on, dude.
That one, I mean, when Malik is going.
Okay, that's a good point.
You know.
That's a good point.
Because I don't mind the Fox, Keon, and Malik one.
Mm-hmm.
Like that one has been
no,
solid.
No, that one's fine.
But
that one's fine.
And I think that other one is really just like Malik needs to be going. These last three games for Malik have been bad. I had someone earlier in the year be like, what does Malik Monk do that Zach LaVine, or what does Zach LaVine do that Malik Monk doesn't? And I was like, well, you know, I kind of get what you're saying, but I think it's just consistency. Really?
Yeah.
Like at least get you 15 on a bad night.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe on like.
But he's a starter, though.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he gets more opportunity, but I think Malik still does have some inconsistencies that can harm this team. And maybe that's a roster construction thing, that they are overly reliant on him being that third kind of second scorer, even, and why we talk about needing to make a big deal this offseason when it comes to long term construction. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's hard to survive nights where he's not producing that much, especially when De'Aaron also struggles in the way that he does.
That's another piece of this with having Trey Lyles and Kevin Herter out. I know Malik is just as open as De'Aaron is as far as, hey, I didn't play well tonight or this or that. Is there a part of this that maybe Malik is feeling a little bit more pressure from not having Trey Lyles off the bench and not having, you know, Kevin Huerter in that lineup. I mean, they really need Malik right now.
Yeah.
Whether really.
Whether he feels it or not is one thing, but I think whether there is more pressure on him, I think that there is, because I think, like you just said it, you're missing, what, roughly 20 points per game? That's 20 points per game that you're not having on the floor for you. And we know what Malik can do. I think, Brendan, I think you had a tweet today, a record when Malik scores 20. I think it's, what, 17-4 when he scores 20 or more?
Yeah, I can pull it up and make sure. Yeah, 18-7 when he scores 20 or more.
That's got to be like a 60% or higher winning percentage, maybe even more so, math. But when you score 20 points against the Wizards in a loss, which, again, that's a game, you know, we want to flush, but 20 points in that game, over the past three, you scored 21. That's just not Malik Monk. That's just not the Malik Monk we all know. And again, on nights where De'Aaron is having a slow start, like last night in the first quarter, I think he had 2 points, you kind of do rely on him to give you that scoring punch. That's kind of why the Kings have been so good when they're on. If one of those two aren't going, you have a similar skill set from De'Aaron or Malik to push the offense forward as the head of the snake. And I think it's kind of putting pressure on Malik. It's putting more pressure on Harrison Barnes, who's had a couple of bad games, and obviously more pressure on De'Aaron Fox to score more. Because again, Kevin Huerter was not a 20-point-per-game scorer, but he had those big games. Like he could get going. And I think you can't really look at guys like Domantas Sabonis to give you 25-plus a night. I don't think it's fair to look for him to do something like that when he's doing the other things on the glass and he's moving the ball around. You can't expect De'Aaron to score 35-40 every night. And I think that kind of is where Malik comes into play. If he's not having a good night, who can step up and be that other option? And I don't know if it's Keon. I think it kind of goes to Keegan. Obviously, he's the next up in line, but we know how that goes. So definitely think there's more pressure on Malik, but maybe the return of Trey, which hopefully he'll be back by the time the postseason starts. It seems like he might be, but maybe that'll help. But I think that the loss of Kevin Huerter does kind of magnify Malik's volume.
Yeah, no, these last three games has been really bad for Lewis. He's averaging 7 points, 4 boards on 25% from the field and zero. He hasn't hit a three in
three games.
This is his last three games. He's averaging 7 points, 4 assists, 25% from the field. He has not hit a three in 3 games. He is 0 of his last 9 from three. And, you know, yeah, Frankie, I completely agree with you. Like, it feels like, in a weird way, I mean, they're 2-1 in those games, but, you know, what happened in Orlando? Keon had a career-high 18. What happened in Philly? Season-high 18 for Davion. And so they kind of picked up the slack there, but on a night like last night where, yeah, Keon, I think, had 10. I think Davion had 8, something like that. You needed that Malik Monk pop, and it never came. And, I mean, we've seen how important he is to this team all year, but you're right. Like, without Trey, without Sasha, without Kevin Huerter in there, it's no longer it's a luxury to have Malik be that third option. Right. It's now, no, if Malik's not scoring 15 and realistically to the number 20-plus, it's going to be a pretty long night probably for your offense.
And, I mean, it kind of goes back to that Fox or Malik thing. If one of them are on, like, the Kings are in a good spot. Yeah. At least if one of them are on, they combined for 28 points last night. And they both played, I mean, Fox played 32 minutes and Malik played 27, 28. That's not too far off of regular season minutes. Like, maybe, I think, garbage time, like, they both were on the bench. But if they're going to combine for 28 points, I mean, the Kings are just really behind the eight ball. Like, they're not going to win games.
No, I don't see it happening. They need Malik. He's incredibly important to this team. And I'm wondering now who else you can call on if you're not going to get that from Malik. Chris Duarte, he can hit a couple threes here or there. We understand that. But he's not a guy you're going to be able to call on night in and night out. And I'm looking here, guys, at Malik being the guy that does tend to break up the flow offense. De'Aaron obviously does when it's money time, but Malik is another guy. And I don't want to go too far here. That first three, we know how important the first three can be for a guy. Even though it went in and out, the hesitation that you could see on Malik's face, I'm starting to get worried. It's moving up to between the ears here. I need him to hit his first three on Friday. He hits his first three on Friday, I think we're back cooking, and we were playing Malik Monk, and it's a good time. But I am incredibly worried because you can tell. You can tell, guys.
So I think it might be between your ears, bro.
Chris, yeah, you can tell. Chris, come on.
No. Malik's confidence is like the last thing I'm going to worry about. Come on. Malik's confidence, I promise you. I hope one day I'm even close to as confident as Malik Monk.
Well, you're making me feel better. Still make the first one. When we return, continuing the conversation, and we're starting to look forward to Friday. What adjustments can the Kings make to get it done. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.